Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. It's a Monday Night Baseball doubleheader tonight on NBC Sports Chicago and our Plus channel as well. At 7, Cubs homestand continues. Tonight they welcome the Arizona Diamondbacks to Wrigley. Len and JD have the call 1 hour from now. Meanwhile, on NBC Sports Chicago Plus, Southsiders travel south down the Pacific Coast. Lucas Giolito on the bump. White Sox open a series with Trout, Ohtani, and the LA Angels of Anaheim. White Sox pregame live begins our coverage at 8:30. Jason and Steve had the call at 9 o'clock. We'll get you ready for a big night on the diamond. Sports Talk Live on location on Gallagher Way outside of Wrigley Field, where it is Authentic Fan Night. Make sure to share your Cubs fandom using the hashtag AuthenticFan, and your photos might be showing during tonight's game. We'll get the festivities started now. And welcome in to Gallagher Way right outside Wrigley Field. This is Sports Talk Live brought to you by our great friends at the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Good start to your week. I'm David Kaplan. I am joined by Jesse Rogers, ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Sahadev Sharma does great work over at The Athletic. All right, Cubs and Diamondbacks open a four-game series here at Wrigley Field. Cubs come off 3 out of 5 against the St. Louis Cardinals. Let's talk Cardinals-Cubs first. That was a good series. The Cardinals are a struggling team, but they battled the Cubs tough, and Matt Carpenter's ridiculous.
Yeah, he won NL Player of the Week.
And this, shocking.
Yeah, the series for the Cubs kind of reminded me of the whole first half for the Cubs. Nothing's really changed. The offense is looking really special, on pace for the second most runs since 1930, I think, on pace for 837. They had 855 in 2008. Starting pitching was wobbly, inconsistent, but enough like yesterday with Quintana to get that win. So, and the bullpen was good enough at least. So a little shaky, but I do think that 18-5 loss sent the Cubs a message like, you can't come back from every deficit, and you will need more starting pitching. So, again, it kind of reminded me a lot of the first half games.
Yeah, I mean, talking about that 18-5 loss or whatever, was it 16-4?
18-5.
It was 18-5? Yeah. I guess I stopped paying attention at some point. You know, you lose a game like that when John Lester's starting, and we talked about it in the first half, can he keep this up? I think that's the biggest question going forward for the starting pitching. I mean, one of many, I guess, but it's the biggest one that I have. Is Lester, can he keep up that first half? The Cardinals as a team, I mean, we were talking about this before. They have so much talent. They have the pitching talent. They have the offensive talent. They're a mess on defense. So many little mistakes, so many big mistakes. They gave plays away. They just handed a couple games to the Cubs. They almost gave that Saturday game away, too, the second game of the doubleheader. The Cubs almost won 4 or 5 because of that Cardinals defense. It's shocking how far that team has
fallen. What happened to the Cardinal way?
Yeah, think about defense and their bullpen. You talk about demoralizing parts of your game when they go south. I mean, that'll do it to you. You know, when your bullpen blows things, like they gave up a ton of runs going back before the break and then after the break and then, like you said, the defense as well. So you can't just do it with one part of your game working, even if the starting pitching is pretty good for them.
Well, look at the 7 ERAs in their bullpen. Yeah. All the guys that have 7-plus, 6-plus ERAs, it's ugly.
Struggling. All right, as we are sitting here on the 23rd of July, we are 8 days away from the trade deadline, the non-waiver trade deadline. And I want your guys' opinion. Are the Cubs going to go out and make a bold move? I'm not talking about some minor league guy or some back filler guy. Are we going to see a starter of some consequence? Are we going to see Zach Britton? Where are we at?
I think until yesterday I thought there might be a chance because Theo's done it before. Chapman. We kind of all saw Chapman coming. Nobody saw Quintana coming, though, the next year. I thought until yesterday they had a chance. Then listening to Theo talk, he really downplayed it.
Could that be a misdirection?
It could be. But he's usually pretty transparent. I'm going to say no on the significant part after yesterday.
So no Zach Britton?
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to finish second to the Astros. Houston really needs him, and Houston can really pay for him.
I mean, if Houston wanted to, they could go out and get a bigger name. I don't think they want to pay the price for that bigger name. I know Britton's a big name, but I mean a guy that's produced over the last couple of years and isn't coming off a major injury. A guy like Vasquez or Iglesias, if either of those teams, Cincinnati or Pittsburgh, are actually selling. But if they're competing with Houston, it's going to be really hard. The Cubs system is depleted. Astros is not depleted. It's still looking good, and they're probably not going to have to give up some of their best prospects. And Houston is the type of team that won't give up their best prospects for a rental.
Where is Milwaukee in all of this? Because last year they had a 5.5-game lead. They do very little. This year they had a lead. They do very little. Why?
Well, last year, I think because they were just getting that taste, maybe they didn't think they had that team for it, which is reminds me of Philly and Atlanta this year. I don't think Philly and Atlanta are going to mortgage anything for a quick fix. I just don't. I think they're going to get their taste. If one or both get in, they're going to be happy with that. That's my opinion. But this is the second year for Milwaukee, and things aren't going very well. Stearns is a young GM. He's got to pull the trigger on something big. But can he? There's not that many pitchers out there if the Mets aren't selling. Good pitchers, significant pitchers, if the Mets aren't selling. So after Machado, not sure exactly where the market's going to go in terms of significant additions for anybody.
Well, and also Stearns, you say he's a young GM trying to find his place in this with the Brewers, but he's also one of those risk-averse guys. And right now, 2-8 in their last 10, that's the type of thing that swings a race. That's the type of thing, if you look at the numbers, you look at the odds, they're reducing their odds. The Cubs' odds are crazy high to win this division. Do you make a big move to get into the wild card game? I don't know if Stearns would do that. He may look at the calculus and say, it's not worth it for me to mortgage my future to get a guy that's a rental. Now, for a longer-term guy, Chris Archer, Jacob DeGrom, I don't know if those guys are available yet. It doesn't sound like they truly are, but maybe they do it then.
Okay, so if you're sitting in Theo and Jed's office, you have to add some type of a starter. Maybe not a 1-2, but a back end of your rotation guy so that, oh my God, Darvish didn't come back, or so-and-so has a hiccup, that you can go, I can hand the ball to Jay Happ, James Shields, somebody like that, Jeremy Hellickson perhaps. I mean, there's got to be a move like that coming.
I think it makes sense. I think it's really hard to do that in the sense that where does that guy fit in right away? There's a little bit of that issue. Do you move Montgomery back? Does Chatwood suddenly go into the bullpen? Which I'm sure, you know, plenty of people would ask for that, but I'm not sure if that's as easy to do as everyone thinks it is.
Don't forget, they're 7-2 the last 9 starts of Chatwood, despite all his issues.
And that's the offense.
And that's the awkwardness of the situation Jed and Theo are in. Usually, you're not this good if your starting pitching is this mediocre. It just doesn't work that way. So while it screams to add a big name, well, wait a minute, maybe we can get to the playoffs starting Luke Farrell once in a while and Dwayne Underwood. But the problem is, can you win 3 rounds in the playoffs?
Probably not.
Probably not. So you know, you're weighing these things. It's just a tough. They're in a tough spot.
Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question: is the NL race over? Are the Cubs going to win this thing the rest of the way? The NL Central race. The NL Central race. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote and weigh in.
It's a great question. It really is. I tend to say no. I respect the Brewers. Now, the Cubs might still win by 5 or 6, but 5 or 6 still means it goes down to the final week. Think about that. So I'm going to say no to your answer.
I'd be surprised if the Brewers, unless the Brewers add a starting pitcher.
They're losing Brent Suter today. It was a big blow.
And they don't have a guy that's an impact starter in that rotation right now. Their best starter is Julius Chacin, who, like we talked about Lester, he's another prime candidate to just plummet in the second half. Go look at those peripherals. They're not that great.
But just like the Cubs are hoping Hendricks and Quintana find consistent form, the Brewers do have some guys with better history that could find some consistent
form. But not nearly as long as a guy like Quintana or Hendricks or even Darvish.
Right.
I mean, all those guys. I mean, and I keep bringing up Lester's peripherals. He's the type of guy that can outperform those peripherals. He's been pitching for a decade. He's pitched, you know, in all sorts of situations. He can do it with Lester's stuff.
I mean, you probably see a scenario where the Cubs could probably go on a double-digit, you know, win the division by. I could even see that scenario. I just have a lot of respect for Milwaukee.
I think Milwaukee's a strong team with a great bullpen and a strong offense. I do not trust their rotation enough to suggest
that
they're going
to stick around. You guys back at spring training when I saw you out there and said, hey, Bryant, Rizzo are not going to have the best first halves. You're going to have struggles from Kyle Hendricks. Quintana's going to be meh. Darvish will have one win and be on the DL since May 20th. And Chatwood will have walked 450 people by the All-Star break. You guys would have said to me, okay, that team's way up the track. Yeah. And here they are on pace to win their division.
Sure.
And win 94 games.
It's such an odd season. I was talking to, I think it was Jesse, or maybe it was Kelly Krull. I was talking to her about how odd the season is, because if I told you Jason Hayward's bouncing back, Javier Baez is breaking out.
Well,
all these guys.
Baez you might be able to predict. That's
sure.
about the only
well,
one,
Well, I'm
though.
Just saying, if I'm saying all yeah. those things, all those good things right. happen, you'd be saying, oh, wow, they're gonna be on pace for 106 wins or something like that, right? So it's been an odd season where guys have broken out and or come back from rough seasons and really performed, and then guys that you expected to carry the team are just been average
that's why
or
you,
a little
that's
bit
why you
below.
Love the game, though, because we could have predicted the Cubs in first at the All-Star break. You could have predicted that, but how they got there completely
no
different
idea.
Than we would
yeah.
have thought.
Absolutely.
That's what's great about the game.
All right, yesterday at the ballpark, Will Venable, the first base coach, decided to be a good guy, got a foul ball, and he flipped it toward a young man, a little boy, probably 5 years old, in the stands. Little boy had his glove up, he missed it, and it ended up on the ground, and a guy behind him, a gentleman, picked it up, and in this widely seen 14-second video, hands it to his wife. And that's where the video ends. And everyone goes, oh my God, he's the worst human being in the world, and social media starts to treat him like Steve Bartman. And it is absolutely going viral. Viral. Here's the statement that the Cubs have now issued today, because that video doesn't tell the whole story. This is from the Chicago Cubs. We spoke to the boy's mother today and can confirm the man did not steal the ball from the boy based on information we received from the boy's mother. The Taylor family deeply dismayed to hear about the terrible accusations and hope this can be cleared up quickly. Unfortunately, a video that was quickly posted and unverified has made a national villain out of an innocent man who was attending his first Cubs game to celebrate his wedding anniversary. In fact, the man gave several balls to children in the same section and his wife as an anniversary present. We hope this first experience will not ruin his trip to Chicago and Wrigley Field, and we invite him to come back soon.
I'm going to push back on this story, as much as it's a silly story. Venable threw it to the kid. He should have at least okayed it with the kid, even if he had two balls. He should have said, hey, I'm going to give this to my wife. You got one before. We never saw that permission. Venable threw it to him. He picked it up and gave it to his wife without even saying anything to the kid. So I'm not buying it.
It's horrible optics. That's for sure. The 14-second clip, terrible optics. I've always said you give the ball to a kid. Wherever you are, wherever you get it, just give it to a kid. It's a baseball. It's not that big of a deal. I get some people find it special. Okay. But usually I'd like to see someone give it to a kid. The whole how it blew up, how he was
crazy.
Treated online, it was a little over. I mean, a little. It was completely over the top.
I think it's a lesson to all of us that you know.
The Cubs have also put out a statement from the boy's mother, who said, "It was a great day for our son." I'm just paraphrasing. Our son and our family doesn't consider that baseball stolen. We hope, in the name of good sportsmanship, the fan who received that ball can be left alone. Go Cubs, go!
Yeah. By the way, I'm kidding about my take. It's fine. Guys seem like a good guy. I don't want my stuff to go viral. Here.
Yeah, exactly. He's Jesse Rogers. He's Adam Sharma. I'm David Kaplan. Take a quick time out. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation in advance of the Diamondbacks and the Cubs. David DeJesus joins us next right here on NBC Sports Chicago.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Are you a Cubs authentic fan? We want to hear your unique Cubs stories and experiences. Share your Cubs photos and videos with us for a chance to become our next authentic fan of the game. Enter at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF. And welcome back here to Gallagher Way outside the great ballpark of Wrigley Field. This is Sports Talk Live brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan, Jesse Rogers, Sahad of Sharma, and my partner on Cubs Pre and Post, David DeJesus. All right, David, they go back to work now after 3 out of 5 from the Cardinals. What is the most concerning thing about the Cubs to date for you?
Right now it's got to be the bullpen. You know, getting a strikeout reliever, guy that can go to the back end and put guys away, because right now with, you know, their closer, Brandon Morrow, he's up in the air. He's pitched a lot of innings so far this season. And with that, you know, arm problem, with the back problem, who knows what's going to happen? You need a guy that's reliable, that can get those big outs in the playoffs.
Zach
because
Britton?
That's where they're going.
Is that Zach Britton?
I would love to have him. Because you have the lefty-righty combination there. Because you got Chavez, Montgomery in those middle innings. So, you know, it's a good, good guy.
Do you know him from your AL days at all? Because I hear he's a great guy. He'd be a good fit.
Zach Britton?
Yeah.
I just faced him, and that ball was just moving down. He just throws it down the middle, and next thing the ball is sinking out of the zone. So I heard a lot of good things about him from ex-teammates, but right now I haven't had experience with him. I just didn't like facing him in the batter's box.
You were also teammates with Jesse Chavez.
Yes, yes.
Well, who wasn't?
Exactly. What is his ninth team right now? Unbelievable. This guy's making the tour of the National League and American League.
He throws strikes.
He's a guy that's going to attack. He's going to attack you. He wants to get 0-1 so he can get to his off-speed stuff. But he's a guy who's just an innings eater. He wants to go out there and get innings. And I like having him in the bullpen because he's a guy that's not afraid any hitter in the big leagues. He's faced them all, so he knows how to attack them.
He's not gonna blow you away, but he's gonna impress you. And you know, if you're watching him every day, he's one of those guys that almost grows on you. Right?
Exactly, he's under the radar, just a guy that's gonna go out there, put his innings in. He's not gonna say too much. He's gonna work hard, and he's a great teammate for the Cubs. It fits in perfectly here.
We were all talking. Do you believe they have to go at a starter? Because I do.
I don't.
If you want to win the World Series, or tell me, Kyle Hendricks and Jose Quintana are going to be Kyle Hendricks and Jose Quintana.
That's what you have to rely on. You have to have those guys be themselves.
They haven't been yet.
Yes.
Quintana's been better as of late.
And Yu Darvish, if he gets back to healthy, is like a pickup, is like a free agent pickup. So hopefully he can get back. You can't rely on him getting back. But I think Mike Montgomery could do the job. He could step up and make a big appearance in the playoffs if needed.
You know, something's got to give here. There's going to be trades this week.
Well, yeah, there will be trades. I just don't know how much the Cubs can do. I mean, think about what they've done in the last 12 months. 3/5 of the rotation was added in the last 12 months. How much more can you add to that? I mean, you could try, and they are. And Theo talked about that yesterday. We're going to make calls all the way up to the last minute, but how much more can you really do?
I mean, and who can you get? Can you get, really? Realistically,
who
can you
possibly
get?
Impact this rotation
Chris
more
Archer?
Than what? More than what Darvish should.
He's not even having a good season.
I mean, when was the last time he had a sub 3.5 ERA?
I can't count that Yu Darvish is going to throw a meaningful pitch in the big leagues this year.
I don't disagree.
But
if everyone else pitches to their capability, they could win it all without Darvish.
Exactly.
Sure.
But
exactly.
It does put pressure on Hendricks and Quintana and even Montgomery.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about Anthony Rizzo. He has been locked in, and he is there to stay for a while, folks, as the leadoff man. You guys like Anthony Rizzo at the top of the lineup because originally it was a cute little gimmick.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm like, that guy's killing it. Leave him there.
May as well leave him there. Yeah. It's working. I say you kind of ride it for as long as you can. Joe talked about in pregame maybe moving someone in the 9-hole that can – outside of a pitcher, you know, put the pitcher in the 8-hole, have someone kind of setting up Rizzo after we get past the first inning. I think that makes a little bit of sense. I'm not sure how long you can really do it, though. Like, do you do this for the rest of the season? Is this a playoff thing? I don't know. It seems awkward in a sense because we're not used to seeing a guy like Rizzo up at the top, but also it's working and other guys are doing the job.
That's an unsophisticated look. That what Joe would say?
I'm buying it. I really am. I mean, look at the first inning alone, and I think that's an important number to look at because after the first, it's all the same.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you did it. You did it, David. You have to be ready to get there. You have to be ready to get on base. You have to be ready to hit 650 career on base in the first inning of games. That plays.
I think it locks him in, and ever since he's let off the games, he just has a different mentality. You have to be ready from the first pitch when you're leading off a game. So maybe that just little pressure locks him in. And I don't know going forward in the playoffs, Rizzo's going to be batting first. But right now, let him get hot. Let him get that batting average back to regular. Then you can put him back in the fourth slot.
He looks comfortable.
He does. He does.
It's working. He's hitting. He was in a huge slump, and it's working. There's no reason to change it now. I just wondered, is this a playoff thing?
Well, the
too?
Thing is, and here's the thing, Cap, there's almost no reason ever to change it, really, if he's having success. My point being, we talk so often, Jed Hoyer does, 1-5, 1-8, whatever it is, it's all this. You just, you know,
exactly.
it's a gamble no matter what. So when you find something, why not go with it?
I kidded you. Joe Madden says, that's an unsophisticated look. And I said to him one day, hey, man, I guess I'm unsophisticated. I like an old school lineup. But I guess the game has changed tremendously.
You've seen Tampa do some crazy stuff, putting starters in the first inning.
Right. So like, no, closers.
Okay, closers, I mean. But like, there's the game evolves, and right now Rizzo in the leadoff spot, if he's hitting, getting on base, it's huge having Javi Baez having a big year where you can put him anywhere. Jason Hayward having a big year. So that four slot is not just sitting open and just automatic outs.
You mentioned spring training. If I had told you in late July here, Rizzo would bat one and Almora three. Remember when Almora was going to be groomed for leadoff?
Yeah.
And he was for a while. And then it's just crazy. He's got his sluggers 1-2 and his contact guys 3-4 and 5.
Yeah, there's something.
It's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy.
It's
all right,
fun.
Thank you. And you'll be on Baseball Night in Chicago.
Yep.
And I'll see you for the postgame show.
Doubt.
All right. And I got to buy you dinner tonight.
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, we'll take a fast time out. Sports Talk Live here from Gallagher Way. We'll wrap things up and hand you off to Baseball Night in Chicago and then Cubs and Diamondbacks coming up on NBC Sports Chicago. Be right back.
Join NBC Sports Chicago at Wrigley this summer for authentic fan nights featuring free giveaways, cheer cards, and live broadcasts in Gallagher Way before the game. For more information, including dates, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Hey, tomorrow night, tune in for an hour-long Sports Talk Live on location for Bears training camp at Bourbon Ann, the campus of Olivet Nazarene University. Fun starts at 6 o'clock. And we're back with the great clip of the week presented by Great Clips. Ciao, Francesco Molinari. He became the first Italian golfer to win a major title when he won the Open Championship yesterday. Finished at 8-under, two shots clear of Kevin Kisner, Justin Rose, Xander Schauffele, and Rory McIlroy. And Molinari completed the final two rounds without recording a single bogey. And for those who bet him yesterday prior to the final round, he was 13-1.
Is that you?
That would be me.
Oh, my God. How'd you pick him?
I did some research Saturday night, and I bet him.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow. Impressive.
It was nice.
Let's call
all
you
right,
next major.
Before we get out of here, tonight on NBC Sports Chicago Plus, and then we'll move it over to the main channel, it's the White Sox and the LA Angels of Anaheim. Now, I know the Sox are struggling. I know the Angels aren't great. But is there anybody more compelling to watch in baseball than Mike Trout?
No.
So if I told you you could watch any guy play on TV, who are you going to watch?
Well, I mean, Baez and Trout.
Baez,
yeah, I mean,
Francisco
Baez
Lindor
Trout
is fun. But as far as pure talent, yeah, Trout trumps
he's
them all.
He's like Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably choose Baez because when he hits a homer, he'll let everybody
know. I kind of was leaving our guy off to the side.
Right, right. But Trout's right there, and that whole thing with the commissioner was weird last week, the whole marketing thing, right? But you know what?
But that's not what he does. That's not who he is. He markets himself with his play on the field.
Correct.
I mean, look at the numbers. Look at
and
what
who,
he's doing
and
historically.
Who really cares if he's marketed or not? You know, if you're a baseball fan, you enjoy watching him. I don't care if he does commercials.
I am going to go home after post game, and I'm going to watch the end of that game. I want to watch him. And Shohei Ohtani.
Right, that would be great. If one was pitching, one's hitting,
oh,
that'd
be
great.
Fun.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, there are interesting guys to watch in this prime. Kershaw was a lot of fun. If I saw he was pitching, I'd be like, I'm going to watch. Chris Sale,
oh,
that's
yeah,
a guy fun to watch.
He's better than he's ever been, actually.
Probably
Chris
Javi
Sale
would be at the top of the list if it was
no doubt
anybody. Guys, thank you for being here.
You got
thank
it. You.
All right, for Sahada Sharma from The Athletic, subscribe to TheAthletic.com. Jesse Rogers, ESPN 1000, and his great stuff at ESPNChicago.com. I'm David Kaplan. Have a wonderful evening. Baseball Night in Chicago is next. I will see you post-game live after the Cubs and the Diamondbacks here on NBC Sports Chicago. See ya.